Many of us didn't wake up as a kid and said that we wanted to go into sales. It's something that we just fell into. And it reminded me of a series that we ran on our other podcast where we focused on the accidental sellers, people who just fell into sales. Kevin Cummings was one of those individuals. Now, he fell into sales and he did pretty well. You're going to love his story and hopefully it can inspire you or someone that you know who's thinking about getting into sales. Hey, 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 everyone. Welcome to another great episode of Selling in Color. My name is Donald C. Kelly, the sales evangelist. And I'm so excited to be here with you. And as you can see, I'm coming from my home. It's my birthday. And my wife surprised me with some birthday decorations. And I'm working from home today. And I'm down in a dining room. And I figured I'm going to record this little intro. And hopefully you enjoy this episode. I recorded with Kevin earlier in the week. But this episode was fun because just hearing Kevin's story and what he did and how he went about doing it and how he just, you know, is continuing to see success and what he's doing right now with the organization where he assists and also working at LinkedIn. It's like, come on, man, dude is doing some amazing things. So hopefully it inspires you or someone you know that is thinking about getting into sales and just to kind of show that people of color can do amazing things in the sales arena. We need more of us. And I need to hear more stories like this. If you know someone that has an amazing story, or if you do, and you want to be featured on our podcast, please go ahead and send us an email, podcast@tscstudios.io. Look forward to hearing from you. In the meantime, let's go ahead and dive into Kevin's story. Kevin, welcome back, man. I appreciate you coming on this episode of the Selling in Color podcast as well and being here to be my guest. So thank you.
No problem. Anytime, man.
So some of you may have heard Kevin on The Sales Evangelist. He came on that podcast, my other show, and we were chatting there a little bit about his experience of getting past the gatekeeper. I was telling Kevin as I was driving through the backwoods of Tennessee over the weekend, the episode came on and I was listening to it and it was just like, I was getting fired up, man. So I'm going back to build my better relationships. And if you haven't listened to that episode, I'd link back into this episode so you can go check that out as well. But Kevin, some of the audience member here never heard about you. Tell us in maybe 15 seconds who you are and why you're so freaking amazing.
Sure. So why am I so freaking amazing? Oh, we don't have all day.
Come on.
We can go into it. So again, my name is Kevin Cummings. I am I won't say world-renowned sales professional, but I've sold in a bunch of different industries and have been successful at most of them. So currently born and raised in the Bronx, New York City, by way of Jamaica. Mom from Kingston, dad from Spanish Town, and went to the University of Miami in Florida. And what happened to me was I have this biology degree and I'm trying to figure out how am I going to make money with this biology degree. And somehow sales and biology came together and we're going to talk about it a little bit later. But I'm going to kick it back off to Donald.
Snap.
Yeah.
Sales and biology. Because you mentioned biology. Is that because your parents said that they wanted you to become a doctor? Was that some kind of undertone?
Just like every other Jamaican parent. If you're from the Caribbean, you only have three options. It's either doctor, lawyer, or engineer.
I tell the people that all the time on a podcast, and I'm glad you're able to reiterate it, that there's validity behind it.
No, that's just the way it is. So luckily for me, like when I'm in school, I breeze through elementary, breeze through high school, full scholarship. Math and science were always A's, A minuses. So I definitely thought that I was going to go ahead and be this world-renowned doctor because I knew that doctors, they go to school, they get paid very well. And once you get paid very well, your life is going to be perfect after that. But lo and behold, there's a lot of bumps along the road. So clearly money isn't everything.
So why didn't you go down that path besides money isn't everything? We know it's right up there with oxygen, as Zig Ziglar would say. But what happened that pulled you away from why we're not calling you Dr. Cummings today?
So the funny thing is, my senior year of college, I realized that I really do like science, but I don't like it enough to take it that seriously. So what happened was if anyone has taken organic chemistry, they know that they almost, yes, exactly. Orgo, you're like, oh my God, I want to change my entire life, my profession. I want to go into the monastery. Like, this is not for me. You feel me? But yeah. I'm in class and all of my science grades, they're falling, they're tripping. Like, it's just not working for me. So yeah. I'm like, you know what? Let me switch. Instead of trying to get a Bachelor of Science, let me get the Bachelor of Arts in Biology, because the quickest way to graduation. And I can pivot. I can figure out something else. I'm a smart guy. I'm a likable guy. You know, I can do something else. So what my friends were all telling me, hey, Kevin, you had this amazing personality and you're about to get this biology degree. So you should go into pharmaceutical sales. Those guys, they make tons of money. They talk to people all day. They take out doctors and it's right up your alley. And I'm like, shoot, perfect. Get my degree. And I start interviewing. Interview with all the top companies. Nobody wants me.
How did that feel?
It was disheartening. It was disheartening because, you know, being from the Caribbean, they tell you once you get your degree, the world's going to open up and just take you in and everything is just going to be, you know, yellow brick road, right?
Sure.
And going on these interviews, everyone's asking for 2 years, 3 years of experience, of sales experience. And I'm like, so you want me to do the entry level job, but I don't have any experience, but you don't want to give me the experience so I can do the job. Tell me how this makes sense.
I know, bro. It's one of those things. When I see that on those applications sometimes, I'm like, it's entry-level position and you need somebody with 2 years. So just help me understand. I mean, just logically, it doesn't make sense. And I think there's, Dwan Brown and I were talking about that a while back on a show. And yeah, it's kind of disheartening, especially in this arena, because we don't have many of us, many people who look like us who are listening to this podcast. Mm-hmm. In those avenues, it's even almost sometimes I feel like, is this kind of like a sifting out in some way? Like, come on, man, give me a chance. So,
right.
Yeah. Anywho, but that's a story for another day. We'll link back to that episode.
Of course.
But, you know, let's talk about that. Let's continue going down this path, though, about this journey. So this happens and you're trying to figure out what's going to be next. You got turned down over and over and over again.
Right.
Why did you decide to continue down this journey? And tell us what you do next?
Because something was working right. So I wouldn't just get turned down off the first interview. I'd make it to the third round every time. And I would always get beaten out by someone that just has some type of experience. So What I started to learn was, you know what? You need to kind of focus on what those transferable skills were. So a funny thing happened while I was in college. I was working with a network marketing company called Your Health. And basically they sold nutraceuticals, like very, very similar to like your Herbalife. They sold all these weight loss products, fat burners and whatnot. And I was crushing it. I got so good. My manager said, hey, you know what? You need to go to 34th Street and meet 20 new contacts because you ran out of friends and family to talk to.
No way.
And after about 2 weeks, 3 weeks of doing it and just talking to strangers, I got really good at talking to strangers. So of course I have the skills to do the job, but how do I translate that to allow an interviewer to receive that information? Yeah. So what I did was I put it on my resume. I finally said, you know what? I thought this was like a play thing I did on the side, you know, network marketing, pyramid, this and that. I can't put that on my resume. I said, no. I'm going to put it on my resume. And it's funny because the second I put that on my resume, I was working at Pier 1 Imports, packing boxes as a sales lead. Packing boxes, open and closing in a store. And I'm just like, I'm only going to give this place 1 year because I got a college degree. I'm good at sales, but for some reason, the pieces aren't hitting.
Yeah.
So on my 11th month, I got a phone call from this company called Grainger. So W.W. Grainger, big old industrial supply company, very similar to your Home Depot, but they just do it on a much grander scale.
Yeah.
They're doing a Salesforce expansion in the New York City metro market. And what that means is, they're launching a new whole line of business and they need 30 sales reps.
Come on, bro.
And I'm like, this is it. So I go to interview and it's like, this is back in 2014. I want to say February 2014. Terrible blizzard in the Northeast. I'm driving from the Bronx to Newark, New Jersey. It's about an hour drive, maybe an hour and a half now because of the blizzard. I realize that when I'm halfway to the venue for my interview, I left my wallet.
No.
So because I don't have my wallet, I can't park in any of the parking lots. I can't pull out money. I can't do anything. So I'm like, you know what? Let me just turn over to this Chase Bank real quick, walk in, give him my info, and hopefully he can just give me like $100 so I can just do what I need to do. I make the right turn, cops pull me over. And I'm just like, I'm like, officer, I have my resumes right here. I don't have any ID. I have New York plates in New Jersey. It's like, it's a bad situation. It's a bad situation. But you know what? The cop said, you know what? Leave your car legally parked right here in front of the Chase Bank because you're on like a big boulevard.
Yeah.
Go in, get your money, come out and do what you got to do. And good luck on your interview.
Come on.
And man. Then the whole day just changed. So I do that. I get my money. I find a lot. I pay the lot. I go into the interview. I meet with, it's a panel interview at first. I start telling them about all the success I've had through your health, not what I've done in college, not what I've done in all my previous job, but what I've done at your health. You know, I won a sales contest. I got a free trip to Maui, Hawaii. Why? Because I was really good at selling to my family and friends and a couple of strangers I met along the road. They were like, you know what? Sit right here. We want to bring you to meet somebody else. They brought in the hiring manager. She interviewed me. She liked me. She hit it off. She loved the stories about how you can just kind of make things happen in new situations and work in ambiguity. She's like, you stay right there again. Comes in with the regional director. We sit down. He's just like, real quick, tell me why you want to work here. And I'm like, honestly, I just love people. I love being creative. I just love not doing the same thing every day. And I think that you guys are an amazing company to start my career with. He said, hold on, stay right there. They come back. They say, there's no one else for us to talk to. We'll give you a call. And then 3 days later, out of the 30 people they were planning on hiring, I was the very first person they hired within a couple of days because they knew that they wanted to be on the team.
Come on, man. That's what I'm talking about. Like, it's just so amazing. There's so many things that you shared in the story so far that just kind of captivated me. One, that officer was cool. So whoever that officer is or wherever they are.
Shout out to you.
Yeah. You said that your day changed after that. And I think sometimes, you know, we all need that little break. We all need those allies, those people who can just help us nudge us in the right direction or just give us a little bit of inspiration. Two, using your experiences. Dewan kind of spoke about this too, because sometimes he, on that episode, he was talking about a single mom and how she was trying to get into the sales game, but didn't think that she had an experience for sales. And it's like, come on, being a single mom, you are super creative. You are hardworking. You've been able to, you know, hustle. And she was able to take those transferable experiences and to use them on a resume. And I love the fact that you're able to use something you thought as a side thing. How those skills, it's even if it's a side thing, you're still using you. And that just proves that you're still Kevin on the side or Kevin on a full time. It's the same Kevin skills that made success happen can be used in the corporate sense. And then the fact that you went in there and wowed them so much on each of those interviews to the next step that they were your number one. I mean, that is amazing, man. How did that feel to get that call and to get that they wanted you out of everybody? The first one.
It's like, you know, that mama, I made it. Mama, I made it. I did it. So it was just like finally my work has paid off. And I feel like, and this was like a big boy job, you know, company car, cell phone, laptop, perks that, you know, I'm not used to. None of my friends have company anything.
Yeah.
So, you know, when you roll up in a company car, big old logo on the side, say, yeah, I got this for the weekend. You know, it's a good feeling. Like you feel proud, you feel accomplished, and you really cherish where you work from that day forward.
How did that, in the looking at your experience there, like from when you first started, you know, post college, because you start after college, you got graduate your degree, 11 months, you're working at Pier One, right? And you're doing your network marketing on the side. Was there ever a moment in that you thought, even though you set a deadline for yourself, you said 12 months, but did you ever feel at any time during that this could be what I'm going to do for the rest of my life?
Absolutely.
Or... Yeah.
Yeah. Because the thing is, you never know. You can't tell the future. Sure. And around this time, that 2014, 2013, it wasn't the Great Depression, but it was like the second Great Depression that we were going to. A lot of kids were getting laid off. Student loan is out of control. We have all these degrees. We did exactly what our parents told us to do.
Good Jamaican
kids, right?
Yeah.
And we can't get any work.
Yeah.
We can't get any work. So the college degree has now become your high school diploma. And that sucks.
Yeah.
So, of course, I'm sitting here like, you know what? Maybe I can move up the ranks in retail. One of my friends was making $50,000 doing occupational therapy. And I was like, maybe I can just switch and do that. That's another 2 years of school, but that's guaranteed money.
Yeah.
And I'm just throwing everything at the wall, hoping something sticks. But then, you know, I gave myself a deadline and I said I'm just going to stick to it. And then it happened.
And I think this is the power in that goal setting idea. Like there's when you are able to set that goal, when you're able to take control of your future like that, I mean, you know, magic starts to happen. If we don't set goals, we are just aimlessly moving throughout our life. And there's so much that we can do, so many great things that we can accomplish. Kevin, you then eventually transferred into the pharmaceutical industry. Tell me about that. How was that transition now from Granger into the pharmaceutical world? And why did you decide to do that? Was that because of the encouragement post-college?
So I think what happened was I'm working at Granger. After 2 years, got a promotion, got my first club trip. And, you know, I'm working at the new job and the new promotion. And I realized another lull was that I had to elevate my game.
So what now do you mean by that, elevate your game?
So I went from what they called a territory sales rep, which is they give you 300 accounts anywhere from $0 to maybe $20,000. So, you know, very, very low spend.
Yeah.
And it's more transactional. I'm just pounding the pavement, kicking in doors, meeting as many people as I can and trying to sell them something or just make them aware of what we have to offer.
Yeah.
Right. So you go from 300 accounts, 300 baby accounts to 36 large accounts. It's a totally different sales motion. So now it's not more so kicking down the doors because they're waiting for me. Mm-hmm. So when I walk in, it's now, am I that salesperson of value? Am I that trusted advisor, that trusted consultant? And at first, the first 9 months to a year, maybe, I still had that old running around sales motion. And a lot of my clients and customers actually got tired of seeing me. Because, you know, if I'm seeing 300 down to 36, I'm seeing everyone once a week.
Yeah.
And they're like, you don't need to come back here. You can chill. And I had to have some long, hard talks with my manager. Like, hey, you know, you need to work on different things. Pre-call planning, doing research on the company, mm-hmm. finding out a company's pain points and growing pains. What is their strategic vision going forward? Different things that didn't matter to me because I was hustle and bustle, go get the money.
Yeah.
And now I'm like, okay, now I got to be this trusted advisor, trusted partner. So I had to flip the switch.
And was that, how long did it take you to flip the switch before you started to see success with that?
4 months.
4 months.
So yeah. after the hard one-on-one where I almost got put on a performance plan. Yeah.
Yeah. Come on, Kevin, you gotta change, man.
Yeah. I mean, you know what? I've gotten a lot of success in sales, but the thing is I have a lot of growing points and a lot of places where, you know, I wouldn't say I'm ashamed to talk about it because everyone needs to kind of know the highs and the lows as well, because you learn from the lows.
And I think it's powerful to have the nimble and the thing that comes to have both so you can be nimble. And the thing that comes to mind for me, it's a quarterback in the 300 accounts. I feel that you're a quarterback that could run the ball and you could juke and you can do so much. Eventually, that's going to get tiring. When you're in that 30 account, the enterprise sales rep, you're like that quarterback sitting in a pocket. You're reading the field a little bit more. You're understanding a little bit more cues because anybody could just run and juke, but can you maintain the feel and to use your time wisely in that? And I think if you have a combination of both, man, you're Pat Mahone.
right. Exactly. So it was definitely a learning point, a learning switch that had to happen. But those skills that I learned from switching that definitely allowed me to transition over to healthcare when you had to go into medical device.
Tell us about where you are right now when you're doing in the medical field that you're at, or where you were for a little bit there. Because you have a new change too, and you could tell us about that.
Yeah, another change again. See, like every 2 to 3 years, some good stuff that seems to happen. So I'm in medical device. I'm at a company. We'll leave it nameless for now, right? But they sell a lot of hospital beds, and I'll let you figure it out. Okay. So one, the interview process. How do I get into medical sales, medical device sales with no medical experience? So I just told them that, listen, when it comes to sales is the ability to convey the features and benefits of a service or good to another person. Mm-hmm. And I told them, it doesn't matter what the service or good is. If your training program is as good as you say it is, and if you say your products are as good as you say it is, I can do the rest and I can handle the rest. I'm looking for an opportunity to marry all of my sales accolades and sales experiences I've had over the past 4, 5, 6 years with this biology degree that's been catching dust in the top of my sock drawer. And we'll use that at your company. And when they heard that, they said, this sounds like it's going to be a good fit for you.
Oh, man. So how long were you there with that company?
So I was there, I almost made 3 years. I was just shy of 3 years. So it was good. I gave them some good time. This is where I learned about hardcore gatekeepers working with the hospitals.
Yeah.
So I had a chance to, we can link back to that as well, but how to navigate and maneuver that. Doctors are like mini CEOs. So having that elevated conversation of, someone that's very, very, very important, but they only have 2 minutes at a time to speak to you about business.
Yeah.
So that was a lot of good time, had some really good success working in the Manhattan market, and then I had to make another pivot again.
Sweet. And then that leads to where you are now. You're with LinkedIn, right?
Correct.
Nice. And this is just like fascinating to hear this career path. Like, it's many, there are a lot of people who look like us don't have the opportunity to take advantage of jobs like this because they don't know that they're there. They don't think it's for them. They think sales is for white people. But there's a lot of money in that. And I would love for you, there's a kid out there that's listening to this or somebody that's just new to the sales game or thinking about coming into sales and they're listening to this episode. They just heard your story. Why should they consider sales? Give us your little feedback on that, your thoughts.
So I think when it comes to sales, there's a bunch of traditional jobs and routes where you can make some really good money. Yeah. And traditionally, doctor, lawyer, engineer are the ones that make a lot of money. So what I heard for me was that, hey, here's a chance that you can be personal, charming, but still smart and still make a really good money for yourself, almost on par with what some doctors make. So I have a funny story. I have a cousin and, you know, we always go tit for tat on, you know, who could, cause we're both very, very ambitious. He's a full on doctor, right? Doctor with his own practice, doing the thing in Albany. And then when I told him that I was working at LinkedIn and the offer package that came in, he was like, that's the same thing that I make. But I went through 8 years of schooling and $400,000 of debt to make that.
What?
And he's like, how did you? And I was like, listen, he's like, you know what? That's one thing about you, Kevin. You're always going to find a come up.
Yeah.
You're always going to find a come up. And it was a come up because to this day, I didn't know that sales can provide the lifestyle that I currently have. Like I was able to pay for my wedding cash.
Come on, man.
You know that. And that's important.
Bride must have been really happy.
Wifey was happy, you know, paid for the wedding cash because some people take out loans for their wedding and they're still paying it off for what?
Yeah.
That's a story for another day. Then, you know, I was able to buy my first multi-unit family, like investment.
Come on, man.
Was able to do that all through sales. Like, and I'm still not a doctor, lawyer, engineer. I still don't think I'm the smartest guy in the room, but I'm the guy that's not going to take no for an answer.
I love this, Kevin. I think you're the smartest guy in the room. I think you're very smart.
The only smart people can recognize.
The smart people can recognize that. You got thousands of people here listening. So, but man, I'm super impressed by your success and what you're doing. And it just goes back to show, like, you know, when I believe, you know, people say luck is, you know, people get lucky. I believe luck is, there's a lot of luck in it, but I feel that luck essentially is where hard work meets an opportunity. Because if you're not doing the work, you're never going to get lucky. But I've seen the harder I work, the lucky I get. And I got the sense from you, like the more you put yourself out there, the more you hustled for 11 months in a job you didn't care too much about, you went on the side, do a hustle, the more you took advantage of opportunities. You got lucky. You put yourself in the right place and opportunities came. So I commend you for that. And I love your passion that, you know, hey, if you're doing all of this with sales and not having sales degree. And I think this is important for people who look like us to know that we can change our, I love this podcast because I like to help people to understand there's power in generational wealth.
Right.
We can create generational wealth through sales. That multi-unit is going to be in your family until you sell it. But there's wealth that come from that, that all the things that you're getting and you didn't have to spend 8 years in school or $400,000 for that. So commend you for that, man.
And then could I touch on one more thing about sales? So sales is the one profession that transcends every single industry, which I think people don't understand because sales, we're jaded. They think of vacuum salesmen, car salesmen, these high pressure sales that come to your door and try to sell you something, boom, 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 quick, quick, quick. And sales is across every industry. Whether you're in financial services, there's salespeople in there. Whether you're in technology, there's salespeople there. Healthcare, there's there. Industrial supply, like every major company has some type of sales component because we are the guys that bring in the revenue and bring in the money. So yeah, you may not like sales. You may not think it's for you, but what is an industry that you do like? You know, there's people that sell beauty and makeup. Ladies, hello.
I saw this lady with her pink Mary Kay over the weekend.
Cadillac, the pink Cadillac.
Oh, yeah, the pink Cadillac. So people make money on that.
people make money on it. So it's all about finding what do you like? And is there a sales component that goes with that? And I'm pretty sure there is.
Still love this, man. Kevin, thank you so much for taking the time to come on the show today, man. Thanks for sharing your wisdom. If folks out there want to get connected with you, what's the best way for them to go about doing so?
So the best way to come find me is just Kevin Cummings, and you can find me on LinkedIn.com. Super simple.
Kevin, appreciate you taking the time to come on the show today, man. Thank you.
All right. Take it easy.
That was the one and only Kevin Cummings, and I'm glad that you got a chance to hear his story and his message today. If you want to connect with him, you can find him on LinkedIn. You can find all of his information in the show notes. If this is your first time listening to one of our podcasts, I ask that you go ahead and just subscribe. Hit that subscribe button, leave us a rating and review. And if you're watching on YouTube, go ahead and make sure you subscribe to this channel so we can go ahead and notify you every single time we have a new episode. In addition to that, we also have a sales community. You can find it on LinkedIn and also Facebook. It's called the Sales Evangelizers, tied to our sales community, our sales organization, the Sales Evangelist. But you can find those communities, come in there, be a part of it, and connect with me on LinkedIn as well, Donald C. Kelly. I appreciate you. I'm grateful. I'm thankful that you got a chance to hear Kevin's story. I want you to make sure you check out our sponsors as well. They're giving some amazing offers. And as always, I mean, I want us to succeed. I want to hear more stories like Kevin. I want to see more success and to show that we don't have to go to medical school in order to make that money, and we can create generational wealth for us and our families. Let's make amazing things happen. As always, I want you to go out and stop begging for a piece of the pie, but go out and make your own pie. We can do this. We can create the future we enjoy and the future we like. I appreciate you listening to this episode today. There are many different things you could be doing, but you took the time to listen to this podcast. And for that, I'm truly grateful. If you haven't done so already, go ahead and leave us a rating and review on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you're listening to this show. Our show is produced by TSC Studios. Our audio engineer is Jershon O'Bale. Artwork and video was designed by the one and only Destin Cunado. Our show note was created by Jake Ligmanowski. Our podcast production manager is Nancy Paul. You can find audio credits to each of our music inside of the show notes. And I'm your host, your coach, your guide down the sales journey, Mr. Donald C. Kelly, the sales evangelist.